This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger, when we saw a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is a meditation about being open-hearted toward God and what he would have for us. So I'll sing a verse. Actually, it's a very short chorus, and you guys can join in as you feel led. Let me be your servant today, Lord. Let me be your servant today. In all I do, in all I say, let me be your servant today. Let me be your servant today, Lord. Let me be your servant today. In all I do, in all I say, let me be your servant today. Let me be your servant today, Lord. Let me be your servant today. In all I do, in all I say, let me be your servant today. One more time. Let me be your servant today, Lord. Let me be your servant today. In all I do, in all I say, let me be your servant today. Amen.
Hello, Church Without Walls, Berkeley. It is my great honor and pleasure to be before you all today. My family and I have had the privilege of getting to know you all and spending time with you all this weekend. And before I begin, I want to say thank you. You know, it has been a sweet time and a gift to be in your company, not as guests, but as family. You all have treated us as a part of your own. We have experienced the deep hospitality of your homes, your food. Your children have embraced my child, and you have embraced my new puppy child. And for that, I say thank you. You know, my husband has a saying, when people are nice, they don't have to be nice. And they definitely don't have to be nice to you. And you all have been both nice and nice to us. So thank you. I believe God has given his daughter a word for his beloved children of CWOW. And before we get into it, will you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, our Creator, we come before you with thanks. Lord, you said to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and to enter into your courts with praise. And so we say thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be before your throne of grace.
Yes.
And we give you praise because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who sees all, hears all, knows all, and has everything in the palm of your hand. So, Lord, we say, have your way. Lord, would you remove every distraction? Would you open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirits so that we may be able to receive even more that you have already given to us today? Lord, would you use me in this moment to not just speak a word to your children, but to speak a word to myself as well? Lord, we stand and sit in tiptoe anticipation for what you have in store. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. All right. So my sermon title is, I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. So I was given two options when I was asked to prepare a message for you all today. I could preach whatever I wanted on any topic, or I could continue in your Lenten series. Now, naturally, I was leaning to preach something I wanted to. Something of my own choice. But when your executive director, Ann Park, shared your Lenten series, Finding God in Unexpected Places, and her heart around that, I immediately felt led to share from that thought. And to preach from what I am calling a more testimonial sermon. So I pray that this time is well received. It's a little different than what I usually preach. And so as I reflected on what God would have me say to my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, two distinct biblical references came up for me. Matthew 25, 35 through 40, which my sister Bor has already read, but also Jeremiah 29, 13. And it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Okay, so contrary to popular belief, I am not extroverted. Okay? I'm an introvert who is relational. I find joy in hearing the stories of people. And as someone who has had the opportunity to travel all parts of the world to hear the backgrounds of people and be in conversations with people, I've encountered many people's faith journeys. Finding God is undoubtedly the topic many people come to wrestle with. How to find him and where they find him most. Honestly, people expect to find God in the most obvious places, church, in a hospital, and those they love. But I have found that God exists everywhere, in places we never think to look. Jeremiah 29:13 provides us with a template. You will seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart. Okay, so the actual context of this scripture is particular to the Israelites when they were in exile, but it still offers a powerful promise from God to us. When we earnestly seek him with all our heart, we will find God. As we seek God with all our hearts, he reveals himself,
guiding us into deeper fellowship and understanding. Those verses in Matthew 25 are vital in how we interact with people and how we see God in them. I believe we can all agree that Jesus wants us to be compassionate and caring to all people. However, Matthew 25 is primarily about how we treat those the world seems to think are least, but whom Jesus values as his beloved. Jesus provides an invitation to see him in ways we might not expect to see him, in the least, the last, the left out. In this scripture, Jesus promises that if we care for those in his community, no matter their circumstance, we care for him. It's then we find God, not in the pretty, cute packages, but in the world's rugged, dark, uncomfortable places. And for me, if that's where Jesus is, that's where I want to be. Can I get a witness? Okay. Now see, I thought I was gonna come to this church and not have to do this. I asked some people last night if I wasn't gonna have to do this. They said, maybe not, but I see I'm gonna have to teach y'all how to do a holler back. Y'all don't know what a holler back is. Y'all watched the sermon and I taught them how to do a holler back. I thought y'all got it. So a holler back is when the preacher's preaching and y'all tug on their anointing. Okay, I told y'all, they said, I love to eat. I heard y'all like to eat. When you eat a good meal, do you eat it and go, or do you eat it and go, this is so good. Oh my goodness, this is good. What's more important than the food that nourishes your soul? I tell you that if you hear something that the preacher is saying that touches your soul, that is touching something into your, you resonate with, and you want to say, that's good, say it. Say it. Oh, that's good, preacher. That's called a holler back. And you pull on the anointing of the preacher. Because scripture says that the anointing pours from the head and runs to the body. And all you have to do is stick out your cup and you catch the overflow. Somebody shout overflow. Overflow. See, now y'all got it. Y'all got it. A holler back. All right. Years ago, I resolved that wherever Jesus was, that's where I wanted to be. But little did I know. There you go. You got it. You got it. Little did I know, though. I did not know what that would mean as I followed Jesus. Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Okay, so there's a story I want to share. When my daughter Harper Avery was about 3 or 4, her teacher taught her to break crayons before using them to help with her dexterity. Now, unbeknownst to me, I came into her room and I saw these crayons. And I began to pick up her art supplies while cleaning her room. And I noticed these crayons, and I was disgusted at seeing these broken crayons. And I started pulling out these broken, dirty crayons to throw them away. Now, my daughter came into the room and saw me, and she said, Mommy, don't throw away those crayons. Broken crayons steal color. And she took out one of the broken crayons. She found a sheet of paper, and she began to color on the page. And then I said, but Harper, but these are all dirty. And she looked at it, and she said, that's okay. And she pulled out another one and began to tear the paper away. And she held it up and she said, "Look, still blue." Now, determined to separate her from this god-awful crayon, I show her this new box of untouched crayons on her bookshelf. I said, "But what about these? Don't you want to use these? They don't match this bag of gross crayons." And she looks at the bag of broken, dirty crayons and this new box that I was showing her. And she takes the new box, opens it up, takes out the crayons one by one, and begins to break every one. And to add insult to injury, takes them and puts them in the bag and shakes them up. And then says, "Okay, mommy, now they are all the same. Are you ready to have fun coloring now?" Talk about finding God in an unexpected place, out of the mouths of babes, right? How often do we toss out God's children and toss them to the side like broken, dirty crayons? We pick out the good ones and throw away the rest. Or even worse, throw the whole lot away and find a brand new box of crispy, pointed ones. Family, my heart aches for the broken crayons of the world. Those with dirty outward appearance who've been tossed aside, deemed useless, they need to know that broken crayons still color. And under the dirty paper, they are still blue. We need to get into the bag and be willing to get dirty and bear our brokenness and show the glory of God. You see, we are living during a time when people are searching for where they fit. They are searching, wondering where to relieve their hunger and their thirst. And they're coming up short. They have no idea, no place to go. And why? Because too many places and people see them as broken, dirty crayons. And they say they don't belong here. They close their doors. They turn them away, and as a result, they begin searching for alternative places to go that ultimately cause them more hurt and harm, all because we never expected God to reveal himself in that way. Matthew 25:40 says, "But the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" To find God in unexpected places, we must follow him where we wouldn't expect to go. Loving others and meeting their needs is more than a good deed to Christ. This is when we need more of God. This is when we've experienced the true imago Dei, the image of God. With these words from Matthew 25, Jesus shows us that the true faith doesn't stay locked within the walls of a church building. It reaches out to people who are hurting and facing injustice and cares for children who are the most vulnerable. Matthew 25:36, "I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." So I'll say it again, to find God in an unexpected place, we must follow him where we wouldn't expect to go. And that takes courage. So I currently serve as the executive director of Journeys to Mosaic. As a part of that work, I invite people to see what they have not yet seen. And as a part of that partnership, I established a partnership with San Quentin State Prison for Men. The previous assistant warden and I have a close relationship. And for years, he would invite me to come and visit. Now, come visit wasn't something high on my priority list. I mean, it wasn't like going to Disneyland. Like, visit a state prison. I just wasn't something I could see myself doing. I mean, to me, I was going to be met with anger, a lot of sadness, a lot of fear. I pictured Scared Straight or 90 Days In. However, after many invitations, last year I finally agreed to go. This wasn't my first time visiting a state prison because during my seminary time, I had an opportunity to participate in our seminary's restorative journey class, which is at Stateville Prison in Chicago, where I did meet some sadness and fear and anger back in 2017. Though those students were kind, it was hard to see. But this time when I visited, I was in a different place in God. I was in a different season of seeking God and genuinely searching for where Jesus was. I was not expecting to experience God the way I did. I entered this prison. My heart was open. The fear was gone. Courage took place. Family, I found God in confinement. I was inspired by the hope that lived there. I was changed by the peace that hovered over that place. I felt joy and shared laughter with men who felt like I had known them for years. I met men who were completing sentences of 2, 5, 15, even life sentences. And yet, I felt an overflow of mercy, love, and compassion. I felt the marks of the kingdom of God. That's precisely where I wanted to be because Jesus was there. Finding God in a prison initially was unexpected. Yet the more often I went back to visit, the more I couldn't find any other place I'd rather be. But my willingness to journey to a prison wasn't only open because of the invitation I accepted to follow, was only open because of the invitation I followed Jesus in my backyard. I had previously accepted an invitation to go and follow Jesus in the unsheltered community. Matthew 25:35, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. So as I was about to say Sherlock, search. Okay, I couldn't remember it. I was going to say Deanna. Sure, as she shared, I was previously an outreach and missions pastor. And I was invited by the church to, I invited the church there to move closer in proximity to places they tended to avoid. And one of the partners we had was with City Impact San Francisco. And they served the Tenderloin. The Tenderloin, as you all know, serves a very densely populated, impoverished, mostly unsheltered, and heavily drug-addicted community. Now, the first time I led that community, our church into that community, I was very hesitant. I didn't realize why at that time until I got there. I got there, and as I was going into that community, I saw faces after faces that looked like me. And I looked back and I saw faces that looked nothing like me. And I felt shame, I felt sadness, and I felt resentment at this service opportunity. And I thought, why am I leading this group into this community? We should not be here. I began to serve with this heavy heart because of the embarrassment I had. But I continued to serve. And the more connections I began to have with these individuals, I lowered the wall of my emotions. I saw myself interacting with honor and joy. And God revealed to me that poverty and addiction does not have to equal shame. And by the end of the day, I found myself laughing and talking with this community like it was a family reunion. God said, you can find me in the face of poverty and addiction. It just takes a willingness to let go of your pride and trust me. As followers of Jesus, we have a choice to respond to unsettling realities with fear and avoidance or follow him and responding to the greatest needs of our day with love and hope. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Yes, those residents were dealing with some grief and trauma, circumstances. They found hope. They found hope in God that day, simply because we were able to step in closer to find God in an unexpected place. And even though I had deep emotions, standing near God allowed me to overcome that fear with courage. I also had the opportunity to travel with our denomination Serve Globally team to India and visit the Hindustani Covenant Church. And it was a fantastic experience. I got to preach a sermon that was translated by the pastor there, Pastor Akshay. I also experienced some heat like no other. I mean, you know the heat that when you swallow, I feel like cotton in your throat. I also experienced the type of traffic that I thought on two occasions I was about to go on to glory. I was like, Lord, just take me now. I was like, I don't understand how people navigate in the traffic system where you just drive where you want to. This is about to end my life today. I've never trusted in a driver the way I did. And the food, though, oh my word, the food. Yes, I thanked God for taste buds at least 3 times a day. So to say I didn't expect to experience God would have been naive. I knew I would certainly meet God, but where I found Jesus was what I did not expect. I found myself following Jesus into a red light district. I found myself following Jesus and sitting next to women in a brothel where they shared their story. I broke bread with them. I drank tea as they shared similarities in our hair. I journeyed to orphanages and I listened to children well past the age of 8 recite the alphabet because without this church, they would have no education. I journeyed to the slums where a community of people at the bottom of the caste system, known as the untouchables, who never knew where their next meal would come from, would obtain their food and would cook a meal for me and my friends with the simplest of ingredients, but it was so good. I sat in the House of Hope where the same women that were in the red light district gave up that life and chose to make communion wafers for our denomination that would then teach me how to make these same communion wafers. I share all this to say that finding God at work sometimes exceeds what's in front of us. Sometimes it takes us going further than we'd ever expect to go, going deeper than we'd ever hope we would. This church's ministry was by far incredible. They were doing some things that for a community that was simply more than following Jesus. It left me speechless. Now, I know our salvation doesn't depend on works, but caring for those in need is evidence of a faith that changes lives. If we want to see lives be changed and transformed, then we must be open to the move of God. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me if you seek me with your whole heart. I share the story about the broken crayons because I resonated with it. When I was in college, I made a conscious decision to break free from living a life of following Jesus. I wanted to have fun. And as I drew near to having fun, the lifestyle wasn't going as I'd hoped. I began spiraling downward and fast. And on one night, as I was preparing to work at a nightclub where I was bartending at, I told myself, I need to make money tonight. Now, mind you, I had not gone to church. I had not prayed. I hadn't opened the Bible in at least 2 years. And yet, I'm about to ask God for some money. So, I remembered this red book of prayers that my aunt, who had led me to Christ at the age of 7, sent me a few months back. So I pulled this book out, and I got on my knees. Now, I very rarely prayed on my knees when I was following Christ. But this moment, I got on my knees. I opened this book. I turned to the section about money and abundance. And I began to pray. Now, I think I thought the prayer would start off with something like, Lord, give me a ton of money so I can be rich. But instead, it started out with, oh, Lord, be merciful and forgive me of my mistakes. I need you, God. Help me, for I am struggling. Y'all, at that moment, the scales from my eyes fell. I looked at this mirror that was in front of me, and I immediately saw who I was. And I was not who I was supposed to be. I repented in tears, and I asked God to forgive me and to help me to become who He had called me to be. And I realized in that moment, God changed me and redeemed me. I never expected to find God in the middle of my bedroom floor as I was preparing to work in a place I had no business in. Yet, that's precisely the place where Christ was. And He wouldn't have been any other place. Family, I have this deep passion and desire to follow Jesus as He collects lost people, because Jesus came after me. Jesus saw my brokenness and didn't throw me away. Jesus saw my dirty clothes and didn't walk past me, because He knew my heart. Jesus was willing to draw near to me because I drew near to Him. Family, I believe we have an opportunity to meet God, to meet Him in those places that feels hopeless, meet God in those places that feel so far from our reach, yet the invitation to God still stands. I believe God invites us to follow Him to a place that we have not yet journeyed, to experience something we have not yet known. Isaiah 43:19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. Jesus is doing something new. He is on a move. If you want to be in the center of His will, you must chase after Him. That means we must be willing to be courageous and unafraid and see God in ways we'd never expect to see God, so that we might experience Him afresh. My question is, where do you want to be? Do you want to be on the sidelines, watching as the world passes you by? Do you want to be in a bubble protected from the world's dangers as you think you are? Do you want to be in a place that has been what it's been because this is your confidence, because I know this is what it is? Or do you want to go where you've not yet gone? Do you want to discover a new level of love, joy, peace, forgiveness, mercy, faith in a way you have not yet experienced? Do you, for the glory of God, want to be where God is? Family, though it might be uncomfortable and cause you to move far away from anything you are used to, If you trust the Lord with all your heart, you will find God in the unexpected places. A spiritual father once told me this: you may not always be ready. You just have to be willing. Church without walls. You won't always be ready. You just have to be willing. Are you willing? Are you willing to seek him and find him? Because I tell you, if you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with your whole heart. And I promise you this, wherever Jesus is exactly where you want to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.